Welcome to the Mindset for Runners podcast, helping you to access and unlock your true potential as an athlete.
This episode is brought to you by The Fight Dietitian. A 2015 study showed that 35% of DNFs in ultramarathon running are due to nutritional issues. And personally, I suspect this is actually getting higher and higher as the sport becomes more popular. If you think about all the time us ultramarathon runners and triathletes spend doing physical training, mindset preparation, the third pillar that is often missing is getting your nutrition on point. It needs to be personalized for you and practiced. And that's why I've been working with Lauren Nash from The Fight Dietitian for the past 12 months. The Fight Dietitian can provide you with a performance nutrition plan just for your upcoming race, or you can work with them over the long term through ongoing coaching to get a personalized meal plan, nutritional plan, caloric intake, and everything dialed in over a series of phone calls to make sure that when you hit the ground running, your nutrition is not the thing that's going to be causing you a lack of confidence during the race. So Geordie and Lauren and also Jack and Ryan from The Fight Dietitian have offered a free 15-minute discovery call to any listeners of this podcast. So just go to www.thefightdietitian.com and book that free 15-minute chat with one of the team, and you can work out if you just want to do a one-off plan for your upcoming race with them, or you want to do ongoing one-on-one coaching. They walk their talk. Geordie's an ultramarathon runner himself, and Lauren is an Ironman triathlete, so they absolutely know what they're talking about. So if you want to get your race nutrition dialed in, get in touch with the guys at The Fight Dietitian, www.thefightdietitian.com, and book your free 15-minute discovery call with another team today. Hey, it's Rob, and welcome to this episode of the podcast. It's been a long time coming, this podcast, because it's something that I think everybody has had an experience with as you've been running or cycling or swimming, however you get your exercise. And I really want to help you today to become aware of how you are your own therapist or your own mentor as you run. And if you're not aware of it, to try and give you some concrete steps so that next time you go for a run, you can, and you want to do this kind of stuff, you have steps and a tangible, practicable way to do this for yourself. So basically, you may have heard the old saying, running is my therapy, or I take my problems for a run, and when I come back, I've solved them all, right? And I'm assuming you've had that experience where you've gone out with this really messy head that's just all messed up with thought and problem and stress, and you've come back and for some reason something just feels better and you can't really explain it, and you just put it down to it was the run or endorphins or something like that. In today's episode, I really want you to understand not necessarily the science behind it, but how you can intentionally go for a run and get that feeling. What are the steps you can take? What are the questions you can ask? And what's the kind of structure so that you can repeat it and use it in your life and help others as well? So let's kind of get stuck into it. So neuroscientists tell us all these huge numbers that we have, somewhere between 60,000 or 80,000 thoughts a day. And sometimes 60 to 70% of those thoughts are actually critical in nature. So we're kind of wired, as Ben Crowe says, Ben Crowe, the elite athlete performance coach, tells us our brains are Velcro for negative and Teflon for positive. So why is that? Because ultimately our brain's job, as you've heard on so many different occasions, is to keep us safe. So anytime a positive thought comes through, the brain might say something like, oh, that's nice, but I'm just going to let that one slide away off the Teflon. But if something negative comes through, the brain might be thinking, well, could that be true? Do I have to look out for this? Is this danger? That's why the news headlines and all that, they're really looking for that drama or that danger, that fear, because that's what your brain is attached to, because there could be a threat there. So when you're having problems in your life and they're keeping your thoughts, your brain has what's called a threat drive, where it's looking for threat, and the drive is to either solve the threat or alleviate it. But the key thing is the brain will focus on the perceived threat, and much of our threats in this day are perceived threats instead of real threats. So the protective part of our brain produces a narrative that a narrative is like a story that'll keep us safe from that perceived threat. For example, don't try that again because this might happen. So, you know, don't try and run that real fast 5K again. Remember last time you blew up and then everybody walked past you as you and asked if you were all right. And it was really embarrassing. And then everyone asked you how you're going for the next 3 weeks. So let's not ever do that again. Or don't try and go for that promotion because remember when you stuffed up that interview and you didn't go very well? Let's not do that again because it might happen again and then all these things. That's a protective part of your brain that's creating a narrative. And why I start with that is most of our thinking forms into these little whirlpools or these little spirals of narrative. And as you're running, what I want to help you do is become more and more aware of these spiral downwards or these whirlpools or these clouds, whatever metaphor you want to use, of the same narrative going over and over again. So the first thing I want you to realize when we're going to use running as a therapy session or as a problem-solving mission, is it all starts with awareness. You need to understand the thoughts that are going on in your mind and start to listen to them. And we can start that by the process that I reckon is really, really helpful, and not just in running, but also, you know, with yourself or with your partner, with your friend or whoever's having a hard time, is what I just call a data dump or a thought dump. And all it really is let's just dump out all the things that are in your head right now that are taking up your space, taking up your energy. So maybe, and I'm just going to press pause. As I go through this podcast, as always, I'm going to give you as much stuff as I've done myself and then research that might think will be helpful. I'm not sure how many I've got today, but there's probably at least 10 different topics that you can do. So if you just remember one question from the podcast today that you can take away for your next run, that could be all you need, or one strategy of all these different strategies I'm going to give you for how to be your best running therapist. So first one is the data dump or the thought dump. And all it is, you put your shoes on, you head out the door and you're running, and all you're going to say is, right, what's taking up my thoughts? What am I thinking? And you just start to either think them, but it's better if you can say them out loud. Now, why is it better? Right. Your brain is circulating thoughts in probably your native tongue or your native language, but it's just an abstract bunch of neural networks firing down these pathways. And when you put it into language, you have to interpret it in a way that fits in from thought into verbal. If that's not a word, but if that's how it works. So for you to even say what you're thinking is already a huge step in the right direction. It builds awareness and it builds interpretation of what's going on. Right, so all you're doing is, oh, I'm thinking about the kids aren't doing really well at school. I'm struggling at work. I've got this problem, this issue at work. I'm really not enjoying the drive to work, or it's just the traffic's been busy. The kids aren't eating enough. You know, I'm not fitting in enough training time for my race coming up. You know, I haven't even taken my partner out for dinner for the last 12 months. The house is falling apart. My car needs a service and I haven't got time to take it to the service. I really need to go to the dentist. And all of these things are in your head, but you're probably not aware of them. They're taking up your time and energy. So the first one is that thought dump, data dump. So away you go. You might be in the first half a K and it just talk them all out, right? And what you'll find is as you listen to them coming out of your mouth verbally instead of just swimming around in your head, you'll start to process them. You may even start to realize which ones are necessary thoughts and which ones are ones that you can just let slide. Okay, so that's the first one, the data dump. And really what you're looking for here is awareness. And some of the questions that you can ask once you've dumped it all out is, how many of these things are directly in my control today? Can I park that one until tomorrow and worry about it tomorrow? Or can I schedule that for next week? It doesn't mean we're avoiding them, but what we're really looking for is how do we get all of the mess out of our head and acknowledge it, but not get fixated on it, if that makes sense. Right, moving on. Another strategy you can use is what what I call running with a therapist, running with a sage, if you like a wise elder or a mentor or somebody that, you know, you take for a run with you. Now, I've said to you before, I'm quite weird in the way that I do things, but if it works, go for it, right? So I'll imagine that I'm running along and I'm running with a mentor. And you can take whoever you want. If you want to grow your business, you take a business mentor. You know, if you want to, you might take Oprah Winfrey or Richard Branson or a business coach. Or if you want to learn, you're playing better soccer, you might take, Sam Kerr or Ronaldo for you with a run, or Messi for a run with you. And what you're looking for on this run, let's just imagine you want to take a wise person or a counselor or a therapist. We're looking for you to talk to that person as you're running. And then I'm going to list a whole bunch of questions here that you can either ask yourself if you're not as weird as me. Maybe you don't take it for a run. Maybe you just take these questions for a run. But you can. It's better to have somebody else ask you the question because it puts that separation between you and the thought. Right, so the therapist that you're running with, you can create a visual image of them if you really want to. So you might actually imagine a person, a therapist, running alongside you as you run, or above you, or next to you, or with a microphone interviewing you in front of you, like floating backwards. But you go for it, whatever works for you, right? But you're really asking these questions as you go. And you can use it in the first person, like, for instance, first question, what do I need for myself? You can ask like that, or you can ask it from, as in the therapist is asking you, what do you need for yourself, Rob? So that's the first question. What do I need for myself? And I'm just going to read these out. Whichever ones land with you, remember them, write them down, take it for your next run. And when you answer it, have something tangible to do. What do I need for myself? I just need to dump all this stuff out. I need to schedule it and either delegate it or do it or dump it. Or maybe I just need to get a massage or go for a swim or put on music for 5 minutes just to make myself feel better, right? So think about the answers as well as you're going. You might have to call the person you haven't called back, or do that thing you have been putting off, or whatever it is. So what do I need for myself right now? What am I feeling? What's weighing on me? What's missing? What am I missing right now from life, or in this context, in work or in health or relationships? What am I holding on to? What's getting in my way? What's pissing me off right now? How am I getting my own way? Who am I comparing myself to? What am I making this mean? And a great question that comes from Tim Ferriss: what would this look like if it were easy? There's lots more questions you can ask. I've tried to distill these down. But basically what you're looking to do is sort through the thoughts by asking yourself great questions. And those questions will really start to help you process it and come back from your run, maybe not with an answer, but with more perspective and more, a broader perspective and thought around what the problem actually is and how to solve it. We're going to move on to the next one. We're talking about the problem. Sometimes when you go for a run with all these thoughts, all you're looking to do is to actually define what the problem is. So one of my favorite quotes is, a problem well stated is a problem half solved. So if you're completely crazy in your head, you're so overwhelmed that you go running and the only intention you may have for that run is to come back knowing what the problem is. And it might be something like, I'm so overwhelmed, I've got so much on, and the problem might be, I've said yes to too many things, right? And maybe just coming back in from your run with that will help you take the next steps to alleviate them. Or the thing is, I'm not in action mode. I'm avoiding too many things. Or the problem is X, Y, Z, whatever it is. But you don't have to solve it. If you come back with a problem in a nutshell, that's good enough for a run. So this can come through what's called detachment. Now, if you've ever read the work of Jocko Willink, he's written some incredible books, starting with Extreme Ownership. But one of his core principles is detach. Now, detaching from a problem is something you can really do on a run. I hesitate to share this with you, but I've been going down the rabbit hole of why running is good as therapy. And I've come across three research studies, which I wasn't going to mention, but I really want to, because what these three researchers, these studies, one of them was with 11 ultra marathoners, one of them was 67 adolescents who were having with depression, and I can't remember what the third one was. But what they were saying was the running program that they put them on did two things to their brain. So they scanned their brain through MRIs before the run, then they put them on a run, and they scanned it afterwards. And they did this over a series of weeks to try and find out what was causing runners high and why people had clearer minds when they were running. Okay, I'm going to just caveat here. All three research studies did specifically said this is not conclusive evidence. This is just what we've found, the correlation between running and MRIs. So they're not saying this causes this. So please don't email me saying that's not true. Here's what they found in these three things. The MRI showed a decrease activity in the prefrontal cortex and an increased activity in the hippocampus. Now, what does that mean? Prefrontal cortex is the thinking cap of our brain. It's right at the front. It's the newest part of our brain, but it's the thought generator. It's where your thoughts are going, ping, 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 over and over and again. So running was decreasing that random thought generator called the prefrontal cortex or your brain. Now, why was that? They didn't actually go. There's theories that because you're actually engaging in physical exercise, your brain is more occupied with blood flow, with muscle contraction, with digestive, like all the other things that your body has to worry about, instead of just sitting down in a room, staring at a screen, thinking. So decreased activity in the prefrontal cortex, increased activity in the hippocampus. Hippocampus, memory center, the elephant. The kids at school now learn about the brain. The elephant is the hippocampus, the memory center, but also the creative center. That had an increased electrical activity in these MRIs. So imagine if this is actually true and they prove this, and maybe they have and I just haven't found the right study, so maybe you could let me know of that one. When you're going for a run, you are decreasing the amount of thoughts, maybe, and increasing the amount of creativity. And that, what a goal. No wonder why you can solve problems when you're out there, because you're coming up with more creative ways to do it. So Jocko Willink talked about stepping back and detaching. When you can detach from your thoughts, you stop swimming around in them and you're looking at them from the outside. So imagine you're going for a run and all the thoughts are going on in your mind. If you can step back and say something like, what's really going on here? How can I look at this from a different perspective? You take a deep breath and you're like, what would, if somebody else was looking at this problem, what would they think? Or how can I solve this from a higher level? Remember that famous Einstein quote, you can't solve the problem with the same mind that created it. And Jocko says the same thing. The answer to the problem is not going to be found inside the problem. But that's where we get caught in round and round and round. So when you can detach, and that's all it looks like, is how can I detach from this? How can I look at this from a different angle? What if I were to view this from, you know, a completely different perspective? And that is the detachment run. All right, let's keep on moving. There's a brilliant executive coach and speaker called Kemi. I always get her last name wrong. Kemi Nekvapil. Nekvapil. My apologies, Kemi. Wrote a great book called Power. And when I read this book, I was really struck by the three questions that Kemi asks her clients to help them solve problems. Now, a bit of background on why she asked these three questions. If you think of the three kind of intelligence centers of the body, there's the head, so the brain, the heart, and the gut. So all the latest research on the gut is about how many neurotransmitters are in the gut. You know, they're talking about 100 million different neurons in the gut lining, and so the sensitivity and the neurotransmitter, that there's more serotonin produced in the gut than there is in the brain, and all this new research coming out, the intelligence of the gut, and we all know the gut feeling that you get. Does this feel right to me, is this the right thing to do? Right. So, head, heart, gut. Right. So, Kemi's three questions come around these three intelligence centers, and this is something you can take for your run with you. So the head, heart, gut run, okay? So you're running, you've got this problem in your life. What should I do here? And the questions you ask, what does my head say? And you might have your therapist running next to you if you're weird like me, or you might just say it to yourself, what does my head say? And then say it. Well, my head's thinking all the logical reasons I should do this thing, buy this house, go for this job, move, whatever, blah, blah, blah. And then you'll find the logic, and you can bring this energy or the focus to your head. Okay, this is what my head's saying, blah, 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 blah. What does my heart say? Well, you know what? I've just always wanted to live here, be this career, do this as a, you know, hobby, or I've always wanted to travel here. Or, you know, that's a heart thing, right? I've always wanted to. The desire comes from the heart. And then you say, well, what does my gut say? And the gut is the feeling. The gut is that intuition center of your body. And when you come up, when you can scan from these three intelligence centers, you'll start to think about the problem from three different areas and start to get a better understanding, a holistic understanding, instead of just being caught in your brain. So for more information on that, Kemi Nekfapil, or you can listen to her. She's interviewed on the Imperfects podcast as well. Right, body scan run. Okay, body scan run is something you don't have to do for a problem. You can do it for mindfulness. You can do it to reduce tension in your body, but let's put it in the context of a therapy session. There's a great book you may have read, The Body Keeps the Score. There's also heaps of different beautiful books written. Gabor Mate talks a lot about trauma and thought and problems getting stuck in our body. So when you're running, we can do a body scan for the sole intention of locating where we're holding energy or holding tension in our body. So it looks like this. You're heading out the door, you might have settled into your run, and then the body scan starts normally from the top of the head. So you just start to bring the energy to right at the top, the scalp, under your hat, and you just start to scan your body like one of those 3D lasers is moving down your body from the scalp, past your eyes. You hold a lot of tension in your eyes, a lot, and then your jaw, of course. I hold a lot of tension in my jaw. And all you're doing is scanning, and you can relax the tension as you go through your neck, shoulders, down your arms, down your chest, all around your body. And then you can start to question yourself if you want to go a little bit deeper, is basically, what's going on, body? And see what happens. Why am I holding tension in my shoulders? And just ask it. It's not a judgment, it's just a question. Why is my back sore? What's going on here? If we go to the work of John Sarno, he says any pain that's stuck in the body for more than 6 weeks needs to be kind of investigated from that hidden trauma or that, you know, holding on to past pain from our emotional center rather than a physical perspective. So that body scan run. So you can use it to drop tension. All the best runners you've ever seen run smoothly without holding tension in their body. So really just practice this, but also to use it from maybe I'm really angry with somebody and I'm holding it in my heart, or I'm holding it in my chest, or I'm running with my fists tensed because I really want to release that energy. And then maybe you can release that on the run. So the next part of holding that emotion is, can you say what you want to say to that person as you're running? And you're running on your own, I'm assuming here, and you might just, there's someone that's, you know, hasn't listened to you or disrespected you, undermined you or talked over the top of you or laughed at you, and you're holding that resentment or that anger towards them. And this is your chance to release it where you're running. You're in the middle, you could be in the middle of nowhere all by yourself, and it might be time to say, don't do that to me again. You know, this is how I felt when you did that. You know, or whatever you need to say to them. Whatever you need to say. And this is your chance to voice it. And then if you want to go deeper, you can say, what prevented me from saying that to them in the moment? And it might have just been I was completely blindsided, or it might have been I was too afraid to speak up and say what I felt, or, you know, this person intimidated me, so I didn't say it. And this is back to where's that cord in your body and how can you express it as you or release it as you run. All right, so that was the body scan one. I'm going to keep moving a bit quicker because I don't want this to be a super long podcast. I want this to be something you go, yep, I'm going to do that next run. Logical part versus magical part. When I was working with the amazing Claudine Claudine, she taught me, she highlighted that I had these two parts of me, Rob, magical Rob and logical Rob. And I tell you what, it was a game changer for me because logical Rob thought he was in control and he would tell me, he would just, the thoughts, overthinking, thoughts, I shouldn't do this or this is going to happen, blah, 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 blah. And poor old magical Rob, who was the creator part of me, who was the one that wanted to make things happen, who was the ones that wanted to believe in things that were maybe impossible, he wasn't even getting a show. He was just, you know, in the back stalls while logical Rob was saying why he couldn't do this and what wasn't possible because it never happened or because I didn't believe it or blah, blah, blah. So take these two parts of you for a run. You might have logical Mary and magical Mary. And as you're running, you can ask logical Mary, logical Mary, what's going on? And she'll tell you all the things going on. And then you can revert to magical Mary. Okay, it's your turn to talk. What do you think? What do you want? What do you think we should do here? Right? And this is moving from the survival part of you, the logical part of you, to the creative part of you, that part of you that dreams, creates, imagines, has a different energy. So you're shifting thought from problem, thought, logic, can't do that, this is not possible, only this, to this magical energetic part of you that dreams and wants to achieve and wants to go after things and wants to collaborate and wants to build and wants to share and all this. And so you're shifting between these two energies. And even hopefully as I'm saying that, you can get a feeling or a sense of what it's like. So take logical part of you and magical part of you for a run and make sure you give them 50% each of the conversation. You know those conversation dominators who end up taking 90% of the airtime? Don't let your logical part of you be that person. All right, I'm going to skip the next one. I'm just going to go to self-check-in run. Self-check-in. And the question might be something as simple as, how am I doing today? Really? How am I doing? And just see what comes up. You can ask yourself this question 3 or 4 times. And then you can ask something like, is there a feeling that's more pronounced today? Or am I experiencing more feeling today? What am I feeling? You can do a body scan. But just a check-in. How are you doing, Mesa? It's like, oh, well, thanks for asking. You know, and this could be, again, you're asking yourself or your mentor running alongside you might be asking the question. But it's just a checking. What do you need? What haven't you been doing? What normally works in your life that you haven't been doing? For example, if you normally have a great morning routine or a swim or great morning breakfast or meditation or whatever, and for some reason, for example, the kid's getting up earlier and you're not able to do this stuff. Right, okay, so you're missing these important things of your life. It's a recipe for how you work best. Let's really highlight that and try and get the things that you need that maybe you've dropped. Maybe you've dropped that afternoon smoothie or afternoon juice and it's turned into the afternoon coffee and biscuit instead, and maybe that's okay. Maybe that's exactly what you need, a little bit of celebration. But maybe the juice and the smoothie made you feel better, for example, and I'm just using things that what I actually have been doing to make them real for you. So that's how you can use that self-checking. It really is a self-inquiry of all the noises going on. Instead of that, just like, right, how am I going? What do I need? What do I want? How do I look after myself so that I can be the best version of myself for myself and others? Right, the next thing is take a friend for a run and ask them to help you work through a problem. I know this sometimes happens organically as you're running, but it's okay to ask someone for that because that's a really beautiful thing to say. Let's go for a run. Would you help me work through my problem? And maybe we can do the same for you at the turnaround point. It's great, great research in this as well, as there's actually therapists that do running therapy. So instead of going to their office and sitting there, you know, in their office, they take you for a run, right? And there's, what's really cool about this is, and why does running therapy work? So imagine you go out with your friend and you're both running together. You're not looking at each other eye to eye, right? You're shoulder to shoulder. So there's that less confrontation of actually staring someone in the eye. You're not trying to be your best because you're both kind of sweaty and stink a bit, and you're both kind of doing something a little bit hard, and you're both struggling. So it's kind of like you're battling a little bit. So you there's that closeness, that rapport, is that you're feeling like you're together on something, right? You're side by side, you're looking at the same focus, you've got the same goal, and that promotes openness, vulnerability, a more willingness to share and connect. So this is why running with friends is so powerful. If you can get to this place of trust with them. So ask your friend to be your therapist and run with them, and just maybe all you need to do is to voice it and get it off your chest or out of your head. All right, keep on going. We're going to keep on going through this stuff so I don't take up too much time today. Intention run. So the two things I do before every run, set the intention. So my intention for this run is to connect or to enjoy or to let go or to be in the flow or to work out this problem or to come back with a solution or to focus on this part of my running form or to smash this as hard as I can or to just get this done so that I can do the next thing in life or whatever. But if you set that intention, it's like, right, what am I doing today? I'm doing this session and I'm here to achieve this or bring this energy to it. That's what an intention is. And then the second thing I do is gratitude. I just put my hand on my heart, close my eyes and ask a couple of things or one thing that I'm appreciative of today. But intention run. So today might be I'm taking this problem for a run to sort it out. Right? Now that's an intention. A goal would be at the end of this run, I'm going to come back with a solution, right? You can do this. You are allowed to do this. Yeah, so my head's just full of stuff. I'm going for a run and I'm just going to either find a solution or I'm just going to process my thoughts. I'm going to dump my thoughts. I'm going to run as hard as I can to get the endorphin rush and the opioid rush to come back and have a complete state change. Or I'm going to put my music in my ears and I'm going to have a dance party for the next 30 minutes on this run. And that's what I'm here, just to completely lose myself in the moment. Right, so that's the intention run. One thing I haven't alluded to is you might want to do this before you run. You might want to clear all the thoughts out of your head, clear all the tension out of your body before you go for the run so that you can enjoy it. So let's say you're going to the mountains to run with a bunch of friends, you're doing a long run, and you've got all this stuff going on. Instead of taking that with you, you might want to say, oh, I really want to be present in this run. I want to connect with my friends and I want to get rid of all these thoughts. So do the data dump, the thought dump before. You can do your own therapy session by sitting down for 30 minutes and just asking yourself these questions and writing down some answers. You can start to sort through your your thoughts and do dump or delegate them before you go for the run so that you are present on your run and you're not, you know, in your head or perhaps distracted by your thoughts. A couple more things just to give you perspective. As you run, if you can broaden your perspective, so say you're running along the path and you're completely in your head. If you remember back to the focus channels, the four focus channels of sports psychology, internal, external, narrow, broad. If you're in your head thinking, that's an internal broad channel, right? Your thoughts, your internal, you're not thinking about the beautiful surrounds that you're in. All you're focused on is your thought and you're trying to process it. If you can shift to a broad external, you'll start to shift away from the problem. That's one way to shift your perspective. Another way to shift your perspective is to compare where you are in your life to where you were X amount of years ago. Right? Because the problems that you have now, you might have only ever dreamed about when you were younger, right? Or you can take a perspective of somebody else who you know or you know of that would kill to have your problems, quite frankly. And or maybe you could have a perspective of somebody else who wouldn't think that what's going on for you, you know, is a problem, or they might have the answer to your problem, or your problem might be really, really heavy and a big problem, but a change in perspective could just lighten it a little bit, such as going to the end of your life and looking back, such as, you know, and this is one of those hard ones to even say, but thinking about people with, you know, I struggle to even say this, but it can help you sometimes if you're really struggling. Some people who are really struggling in life in some way, possibly even with terminal illness or worse, and comparing where you are to that, and I'm really struggling to say this because it's more that sometimes this is what you need to shift a problem for yourself, and it's not that you're you know, being mean to somebody else. It's that it is changing your perspective, and that's really what you need at the moment to help you go through it. Acceptance. Last one I'm going to do, acceptance run. So this acceptance is something that really helped me get through my last 6 to 8 months. But it starts with a serenity prayer. God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Maybe what you're going through has no solution that you can actually do anything about. And maybe it's just making peace with it. And maybe something you have to make peace with is that you have an overthinking brain at the moment, or maybe forever, and you're just going to have to live with those invasive thoughts and find ways to work with them and to talk to yourself and to work through those thoughts. And maybe in that very acceptance of that overthinking brain, maybe that's the start of slowing it down and quietening it down. Maybe what you're going through, you can't change, and it is about accepting and making peace with it. And that is what this acceptance run is about. I've tried this, I've spoken to this, I've done this, and you know what? I just need to let go of all the goals, of all the dreams for now, and just be with this and be okay with it and make peace with it. And then I can stop the struggle, I can stop the fight, and I can stop the struggle that I'm having in my mind, that things should be different than the way they are. And when I say things like this in the last example, please know that I say them with love and with a genuine care to try and help you work through the thoughts and the problems that you're having when you're running, so that you can come to maybe not a solution, but just a change in perspective, or maybe just a different approach, or something little that'll shift it from just being the same old whirlpool, you know, dark spiral that we all go down. So thanks for listening to this episode. I hope you got something. Again, it might just be one question. It might just be one theory. It might be just a shift in energy that before you go for the run, you know what? I don't want to take this thought to run. I'm going to pump up the music in my lounge room, just listen to one song, and then I'm going to head out the door. It might just be something like that. But take something away for your next run. And maybe what you take away is that your friend that's going through a hard time, maybe just give them a call and say, hey, let's go for a run. And let's just see if you can change something for them. All right. Thanks for listening. And I'll catch you on the next episode. Thanks for listening to the Mindset for Runners podcast. I hope you got something practical and useful out of this podcast, or something inspiring to help you get out for your next run. If you have a question about Mindset for Runners or athletes in general, please email me at robmason.run@gmail.com, and I'll answer your question on an upcoming podcast. And if there's anybody you know who could benefit from the information I share in this podcast, please share it with them. See you next time.